Welcome to Herd Mentality, a podcast from StoneX where we discuss global dairy markets and what's driving them. Remember that the trading of derivatives such as futures, options, and over-the-counter products or swaps may not be suitable for all investors. Derivatives trading involves substantial risk of loss, and past results are not necessarily indicative of future results. We're recording this on Wednesday, December 17th, and with me this week is John Lancaster. He's our head of Europe, Middle East, and Africa Dairy and Food Consulting, based in the Dublin, Ireland office. I've had John on a number of times this year talking about usually disease-related issues with the dairy cows, and that's what I wanted to talk to him about again this week. We've had some new cases of lumpy skin disease in Europe. We've had blue tongue show up in Northern Ireland. And now this week we have a confirmed announcement of bird flu showing up in dairy cattle in Wisconsin for the first time ever. So there's plenty of news around these disease outbreaks. And I thought it would be worthwhile sitting down and talking through what's been going on and what the impacts on milk production might be. So welcome, John.
Thanks, Nish.
We did a podcast earlier this year talking about the lumpy skin disease, and I've really lost track of it. What countries are it in? Is it in? And how many cases are we looking at, and what's happening with it?
Yeah. So to give a little bit of just a quick, super quick background. So lumpy skin disease is an animal disease that only impacts bovines. So only cattle, no sheep or goats or deer. And it originated, or at least it was originally found in Southern Africa and in the early 1900s, and has moved its way northwards over time and impacted the Turkey and the Balkans in the early 2000s, mid 2000s. The first time it's been found, it had been found in Italy was this year. So this was the first big case under kind of central and Western Europe. And on the island of Sardinia, which is in the Mediterranean, if you looked at a map of Italy, it's kind of halfway down the Italian coast, or two-thirds way down the Italian coast. The original cases were found there. Then there was an additional Italian case found in Northern Italy. And then very shortly after that, we had cases in southeast France, so very close to the Italian border. And then more recently in southwest France, near the Spanish border, and then in northeastern Spain, I should say, very close to those cases in southern France. So from the how it's spread point of view, it's a small biting insect that carries the virus between animals. It's not animal to animal transfer, so it's very similar to blue tongue in that way. And the biggest difference, though, from a transmission point of view, being that it can only impact bovines, so that there's not a natural reservoir there in other animal groups like there can be with blue tongue.
So four countries: Italy, France, Spain. So I guess three countries.
Yeah, three countries and an island off of one of the countries.
Yeah. And about how many infections total now?
About 200 reported cases. So based on the reporting methodology, sometimes that's an individual farm, sometimes that can be a group of farms. But we're approximately around 200 to 250 farms is what have been impacted so far.
And what do they do to stop the spread?
So there is vaccines available, and they have been doing ring vaccinations around confirmed positive cases. They also kill or cull out the herds where they find infected animals. So the culling strategy plus a ring vaccination strategy and a surveillance strategy to try and detect any additional transmission, contain the disease, and hold it within a specified boundary. The historical positive piece has been, you look at the Balkans, you look at Turkey, where this is not an endemic disease. It came in, it was found, it was controlled over a period of a number of years, and it is now eradicated in those regions. So Turkey, Greece, and the other Balkan countries. So there is good historical context there that it can be brought under control and eradicated.
Doing some quick math here, based on our estimates, there's about 61,000 dairy farms in France, Italy, and Spain. So if all 200 of these cases were individual farms, and if all of them were dairy, that would be about 0.3% of the farms where these animals have been called out due to lumpy skin. I don't know, you could cut it in half and say half of these were maybe dairy farms, half of them are beef farms. So then the impact would be 0.15%. So it seems like a pretty minor impact on the overall supply of milk in Europe. Again, I guess that's a 0.15% on those three countries. So EU 27 wide, or 27 plus UK, it would be a pretty minor impact. Have you heard anything anecdotally about impacts to supply?
Not direct impacts, no. For example, Sardinia is most of the bovine, the cattle population there is beef operations, calf to beef operations, with a relatively small amount of dairy. And a large number of those cases were in Sardinia. And then they haven't released exact numbers on the breakup between dairy herds and beef herds for the other countries or the other regions. But again, we expect, you know, we're in very small percentages and very little direct impact. The bigger impacts have been on potential exports. So a lot of countries have restrictions on imports of leather goods, which is one of the big impacts of lumpy skin disease. It causes nodules on the skin of the animals and significantly reduces or totally devalues the value of the leather. And for non-pasteurized dairy products, so for example, some soft cheeses, some of the Italian and French hard cheeses, they have restrictions on exports to certain countries because of the lumpy skin disease.
So the other one was blue tongue showing up in Northern Ireland a couple of weeks ago. We've been dealing with this for a while. It's cropped up in the past, and then it showed up in the Netherlands. What was it, 2023? Became much more widespread in Netherlands, Belgium, France, Germany in 2024. It wasn't a big deal this summer. There was some cases, but not a big impact. But now, for the first time, it's shown up in Northern Ireland. What was it, early December?
Yeah, very late November. The first cases were found. So the first cases were found in two cows in eastern Northern Ireland in County Down, in a farm near Bangor. So the control strategy went into operation straight away. A control zone was set up, a 20-kilometer radius around that original farm. And then additional testing through to the start of December here, and they found another 44 cattle that were potentially impacted with the virus. And they have set on both sides of the border, they set up control zones and are getting ready for potentially more impact here. The point in time in the year where we're getting this in Northern Ireland, if it was ever going to happen, this is probably one of the better points in time of the year, because under about 12 to 14 degrees Celsius, the blue tongue virus has difficulty replicating. So blue tongue is very similar to lumpy skin in that it uses a insect, a small biting fly called a midge, as its transport vector. So it can't go from animal to animal. It needs to go through these flies who bite one animal and then bite another animal, and that transfers the virus. Below 12 to 14 degrees Celsius, the virus has difficulty replicating. And at below about 4 degrees Celsius, the midges themselves, activity drops off and a significant amount die over the cold winter period. And then they kind of repopulate themselves during the spring. So from the point of view of transmission and control, the ability for the virus to replicate is very low at this time of the year. There are days where we do get above 12 or 14 degrees Celsius, but those are very much in the minority now. And with nighttime temperatures getting down to freezing, it kills off a lot of those midges as well. So there is some time here for the authorities to get this under control, build in and test around around where they found these first cases. And but we won't really know for sure until the spring, until the weather warms up, have they fully got it under control. But it's looking relatively positive right now. They have time, a little bit of time on their side.
Well, that's good. So even though we've had new lumpy skins cases and the blue tongue showing up in Northern Ireland, it sounds like the impact on milk production is minimal here, at least in the short to medium term.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, in the U.S., this Sunday, it was announced that there was a positive case of bird flu found on a dairy farm in Wisconsin. This was found through the National Milk Testing Strategy, which is a program that was set up to test milk at the plant level. And then if there was, you know, a positive detection at the plant level, then they start going through farm by farm to all of the plants that have been supplying milk into that plant and find the infected farm or farms. So they did that. They've tracked it back to what appears to be only a single farm. The cattle on that farm were not showing any clinical symptoms. And the farmer says that no cattle were recently moved onto that farm. So far it looks like it's only a single farm. The virus didn't get there laterally through the dairy industry. It was probably a spillover. Now, there was a nearby egg layer operation where they got bird flu in late September, early October, 3 million. It was a big operation, 3 million birds. And that farm was cleared out. But it's possible that either the same infected wild birds that infected that poultry operation also infected the dairy farm. It's possible that machinery or equipment, trucks, people, maybe even the wind spread the virus from that infected poultry farm to the dairy farm. Or it's possible that there's absolutely no connection between the infected poultry farm and this dairy farm, and that there was two separate spillover events from wild birds onto the poultry and dairy farm. But either way, this doesn't seem connected to the rest of the dairy industry, since they tested all the different farms in the area that were supplying milk into that plant, and they've only announced this single farm that was infected. I think we have to assume that this is it. It's just this one infected farm. I don't know what to make out of the fact that the cows were not showing symptoms. It would either be that there's a delay between when these cows start shedding the virus and when they show symptoms. Maybe they just happened to catch this early on and the cows were just recently infected and aren't showing symptoms. Or there have been farms that have, you know, gotten this virus and had almost no impact on the cows. So it's possible that they've been infected for a while. Actually, that's a good point. From what I've read, the tests that were carried out detected evidence of live virus as well as antibodies for the virus. So that would actually suggest that the virus has been in that herd for at least a week or two. So maybe these cows are not going to show much for symptoms. In terms of what impact will it have on milk production? We have other case studies. In 2024, bird flu was widespread in Texas, Idaho, and Colorado. It probably infected most of the farms in those states, talking about 80% or more of the farms. And we saw milk production per cow fall by about 1.5% to 3.5% for 2 to 3 months, compared to the recent trend that production per cow was on. Now, the other state where we had widespread infection was California, and production per cow in California was down about 5.5% for 5 months. So it was a much bigger impact in California. I think that was due to the time of year. The infections in Texas, Idaho, Colorado were in cooler months, the springtime, early summer, while the infections in California were late in the year. It showed up in late August with the biggest impacts on milk production coming October, November, December. So the cows were already heat stressed in California. I think that's the reason that we saw a bigger impact on California. But in any case, if we use impacts in other states as case studies, as benchmarks here, Wisconsin accounted for about 14% of the milk produced this year. If we saw production fall by 1.6% in Wisconsin, which is the decline that we saw in Colorado, that would knock about 0.2% off of U.S. milk production for a couple of months. On the high side, if we saw production in Wisconsin fall by 5.6%, which is the decline that we saw in California, that would knock about 0.8% off of U.S. milk production for the next couple of months. Again, this would require bird flu to spread widely in Wisconsin, talking about 80% type number of farms infected. And right now it's one out of the thousands of farms that are in Wisconsin. And this wouldn't be, it's not like milk production is going to be down 0.8% year over year. We're likely looking at milk production growth that's somewhere around 3.5% right now. So even under a worst case scenario, it would knock U.S. milk production growth from 3.5% down to something like 2.7%. There's the potential for a negative impact here, but it looks like it's it is limited to a single farm so far. And, it would have to be very widespread and the impact would have to be very large, like what we saw in California, to really have a meaningful impact on national level milk production numbers. So it made big headlines this week. Number of customers reached out to ask questions about it, but when you work through the numbers, it doesn't look too concerning, but you got to keep an eye on it. Maybe it's just the first detection out of many, but I think the impact is going to be small.
And Nate, this would be the fourth spillover into dairy cows at this stage?
I've lost track, but I think you're roughly right. There was the initial one in Texas. It looks like there was actually two in Nevada. Might have even been the same flock of birds, but I think there was two distinct spillovers. And
that was the same valley, wasn't it?
Yeah. I can't remember. Maybe there was one in Arizona, maybe one somewhere else. But yeah, this would be roughly the fourth one. Yeah. Still waiting on the sequencing of the genes. The genotype of the variant that hit the poultry operation near this dairy farm in Wisconsin was the D1.1. So if this comes back as D1.1 on this dairy farm, then it increases the chances that there was some type of cross-contamination or the same flock of wild birds infected both places. This D1.1 is the newer genotype that spilled over in Nevada later in 2024. Or 2025. Man, there's been a lot of disease stuff happening in the last 2 years. It's hard to keep track. Thank you for your time today, John.
Thanks, Nate.
The StoneX Dairy Team spans the US, EU, Asia, and Oceania, providing market intelligence, analysis, and forecasts through our interactive data platform called StoneX Plus, as well as full service brokerage on the major dairy exchanges, the CME, EEX, and SGX. If you're interested in finding out more about our market intelligence or brokerage services, you can find more information on StoneX.com.
This communication is issued in the European Economic Area by StoneX Financial Europe SA, SFE by the SFE presenters noted. StoneX is the trade name used by StoneX Group INC and all its associated entities and subsidiaries. StoneX Group Inc. companies provide financial services worldwide through its subsidiaries, including physical commodities, securities, exchange-traded and over-the-counter, under derivatives, risk management, global payments and foreign exchange products in accordance with applicable law in the jurisdictions where services are provided. References to certain over-the-counter ROTCA products or swaps are made on behalf of StoneX Markets, LLC SXM, a member of the NASH, Null Futures Association, NFA, and provisionally registered with the U.S. Commodity Futures Trading Commission, CFTC, as a swap dealer. SXM products are designed only for individuals or firms who qualify under CFTC rules as an eligible contract participant, ACPA, and who have been accepted as customers of SXM. Wealth management is offered through S.A. Stone Wealth Management, Inc., member FINRA/SIPC, and S.A. Stone Investment Advisors, Inc., and SEC-registered investment advisor, both wholly owned subsidiaries of Stone X Group, Inc. Stone X Financial Limited, SFL, is registered in England and Wales, company No. 5,616,586. SFL is authorized and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority registration number FRN 446,717 to provide to professional and eligible customers, including arrangement, execution, and, where required, clearing derivative transactions in exchange traded futures and options. SFL is also authorized to engage in the arrangement and execution of transactions in certain OTC products, certain securities trading, precious metals trading, and payment services to eligible customers. SFL is authorized, regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority under the Payment Services Regulations 2017 for the provision of payment services. SFL is a Category 1 ring dealing member of the London Metal Exchange. In addition, SFL also engages in other physically delivered commodities business and other general business activities which are unregulated and not required to be authorized by the Financial Conduct Authority. Stone X Financial Europe SA. SFEED is a securities trading firm registered in the Grand Duchy of Luxembourg under company No. RC Lux B 10821. SFE is authorized by the Luxembourg Ministry of Finance and regulated by the Commission de Surveillance du Secteur Financier Registration No. P00000012 to carry out, inter alia, the activities of investment advisor, portfolio manager, professional acting on own account, broker in financial instruments, and commission agent. Stone X Financial PTE LTD Co. Reg. No. 20113059 8RSFP is regulated by the Monetary Authority of Singapore and is a capital market service licensee for dealing in capital market products. An exempt financial advisor for advising on investment products and issuing or promulgating analyses/reports on investment products and a major payment institution for cross-border money transfer service. Stone X Financial HK Limited C No. BCQ152SHK is regulated by the Hong Kong Securities and Futures Commission for dealing in futures contracts. Stone X Group Inc. acts as agent for SFL in New York with respect to its payment services business. Stone X Financial Thai Limited, SFA Akin, 14177-4727 holds an Australian financial service license and is regulated by the Australian Securities and Investments Commission, AFSL, 345646. Stone X Securities Co. Limited, SSJ Co. Reg. No. 01040104799 is regulated by the Japanese Financial Sir. ISIS Agency as a Taipei Financial Instruments Business Operator. Kanto Local Finance Bureau FIBO No. 291 is a member of the Financial Futures Association of Japan for dealing and broking FX and FX option transactions, and is a member of the Japan Securities Dealers Association for dealing and broking stock indices and option transactions. The information herein is not a recommendation to trade nor investment research or an offer to buy or sell any financial product. It does not take into account your particular investment objectives, financial situation, or needs, and does not create a binding obligation on any of the Stone X Group Inc. of companies to enter into any transaction with you. You are advised to perform an independent investigation of any transaction to determine whether any transaction is suitable for you. This material should be construed as the solicitation of an account, order, and/or services provided by the FCM division of Stone X Financial Inc., SFID NFAID 0476094, or Stone X Markets LLC SXM NFAID 0449652, and represents the opinions and viewpoints of the individual authors or presenters and does not necessarily reflect the viewpoints of SFI or SXM. It does not constitute an individualized recommendation or take into account the particular trading objectives, financial situations, or needs of individual customers. Additionally, this material should not be construed as research material. The trading of derivatives such as futures, options, and over-the-counter OCC products or swaps may not be suitable for all investors. Derivatives trading involves substantial risk of loss, and you should fully understand the risks prior to trading. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future results. All references to and discussion of OTC products or swaps are made solely on behalf of SXM. All references to futures and options on futures trading are made solely on behalf of SFI. SXM products are intended to be traded only by individuals or firms who qualify under CFTC rules as an eligible contract participant, ACPA, and who have been accepted as customers of SXM. SFI and SXM are not responsible for any redistribution of this material by third parties or any trading decisions taken by persons not intended to view this material. Information contained herein was obtained from sources believed to be reliable, but is not guaranteed as to its accuracy. Contact designated personnel from SFI or SXM for specific trading advice to meet your trading preferences. SFP may distribute analysis/report produced by its respective foreign affiliates within the Stone X Group of companies pursuant to an arrangement under Regulation 32C of the Financial Advisors Regulations. Recipients should contact SFP at 656309-1000 for any matters arising from, or in connection with, this podcast. No part of this material may be copied or duplicated in any form by any means or redistributed without the prior written consent of Stone X Group, Inc. The podcast herein is not directed to, or intended for distribution to or use by, any person or entity who is a citizen or resident of or located in any locality, state, country, or other jurisdiction where such distribution, publication, availability, or use would be contrary to law or regulation. Copyright 2024 Stone X Group, Inc. All rights reserved.